Welcome, New York, to the Mike and Abe Show. And Mike is somewhere running around. Are you in your taxi today, Mike?
No, actually, believe it or not, I'm off today. I'm off, and it's the sun is shining. I'm going to go out. And actually, I'm going to also do double duty. I'm going to do the world-famous Taxi Dave Show to go in with this show. So we have two shows. We have our world-famous show and the world-famous Taxi Dave Show on a Sunday night. So we're all excited about that. At least
well,
I am.
Well, for those of you that don't know, Mike is a.k.a. JFK Mike on the Taxi Dave Show.
That's right.
You know,
yeah. My the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, yeah. So what kind of a week?
So anyway, so
yeah, what kind of a week was it in the taxi this week?
You know, it's very good. I'll tell you something. It's at the risk of being too busybody-ish, these retired medallion owners, I'm not going to mention names, who have been cut for their monthly payments from some of these garages, when are they going to start getting their money back? Because the cabs are going out, the business is better, and all I keep hearing are these doom and gloom, the business is horrible, party lines. And at what point do some of these guys start getting letters that say, thank you for your cooperation, business has picked up a little bit, so instead of getting X minus, we're going to instead give you X plus what you had the last month check. Because some of these drivers who used to drive and they gave their medallions to places to manage for them, they've been cut by about $1,000 a month. They started out getting about $3,200 a month, and now with the Uber disaster, it was $2,200 a month some of these guys went down to. But now that the yellow cab is coming back, these guys don't want to do the right thing and pump up the monthly payment. So I'm just wondering, Is it a two-way street, or are they still whining about this fake driver shortage now versus a real driver shortage, in my opinion?
Well,
what do you think?
Well, the question is what's real and what's not, okay? You know, I'm still reading reports about that fleet on McGinnis Boulevard with their taxis still parked. So what's up with that?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. The guy over there is a great guy. He has a great operation. But you can also say the mass transit. There are some fleets that are in the middle of nowhere, you know. And if you have a fleet over there that used to be very convenient for the drivers who live in the neighborhood, then the neighborhood changes. Then every apartment is $2,000 a month, and you got $1 million condos instead of cab drivers living around there. The people with $1 million condos aren't going to be driving for you.
So what
you know what I mean?
So what you're saying is that the people at McGinnis Boulevard are in the wrong location, and they should move their fleet over the bridge, over the Pulaski Bridge, into Long Island City.
Well, I mean, if you want my opinion, they have two ways of looking at it. First, you either have to get your cars out on a weekly basis, or second, you know, find a place where the cab drivers are, because the good old number 7 train and all these wacky trains and buses that drivers depend on to get the fleets, you can't have a garage where the drivers can't get to. And I'll tell you, I took a weekly car myself from a garage, and before then it was just a disaster with the 7 train because of the corruption of the MTA, which is a pirate ship, and I think half of those MFs should be thrown in jail who work there, in my opinion,
okay.
You know, on the board or whatever, because nothing happens. It's just a money-sucking machine, and it's a disaster. And the working people are being affected more than anyone else. And these taxi garages are a perfect example because cabbies take trains to the taxi garages. And if you have a taxi garage that's a little off the beaten path, you need that train to run on time. And if it doesn't run on time, you have to find other ways and other places to drive. So you talk about our friend getting stuck with cabs. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Okay, let me ask you this. Your garage, Checker, which is going to be expanding, I think, you told me, right?
Yes.
And we'll get into just what their plans are in a minute. But, you know, it's practically walking distance to the garage on McGinnis Boulevard. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump over that Pulaski Bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, So the difference is that what you're saying is that the Checker garage on Jackson Avenue, right, is easier to get to than the garage on McGinnis Boulevard.
Well, in my opinion, because I don't want to get into like a whole like war here, but but the guy I work for is on Jackson Avenue, and the 7 train is right there, just drops you off. But even having the train like 3 blocks away, I had to get a weekly car because every now and then I would quit. I'd be so tired, I'd quit the shift, walk to the train, and then bah, there'd be like an unannounced sign. Because some, I don't even call them work crews because they don't do anything. Just some deadbeats who work for the city are doing nothing and blocking the train. How about that? Deadbeats who work for the city.
Okay, but will you live in East Elmhurst? East Elm
by LaGuardia, correct?
Yeah, near LaGuardia. I mean, that's a hefty walk from the number 7 train, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I stayed in shape also. But believe me, I lost 10 pounds. Walking to and from the train because the buses are another story altogether.
Well,
this jumps back to the what's that?
I was going to say you're going to put them back on if you're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, no, I got to watch it.
Yeah, okay, continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, anyway, so I mean, it's just the dynamic that is changing with some of these taxi garages, and you know, the flip side is my friend on McGinnis Boulevard with the Long Island City real estate boom. His real estate for that little cab garage is probably on the moon now. So on the one hand, he has a driver problem, but on the other hand, the real estate where his taxi garage is, he's got a pretty big taxi garage. It probably tentupled, if there is a word, tentupled in the last, 7 or 8 years with that area in Long Island City. It's a rock star.
Okay? Yeah.
So on the one hand, it's like, oh, I can't get drivers. Like, oh, you mean, what about the real estate? That has nothing to do with it. my heart goes out to, I don't want to mention these, but my heart goes out to the retired medallion owners who have lovingly and trustingly surrendered their medallions to their friendly neighborhood fleet manager or broker, have taken it like a man and a woman when the letters come in saying we got to pay you another 100 a month less, another 200 a month less. Now they've, after like a year and a half, some guys have gotten $1,000 a month less from what the original deal was. And I think now that the business is picking up a little bit, they should start getting some letters that say, dear valued medallion owner, thank you for cooperating. We're sending you an additional $200 a month this month from what we were sending you last month. Thank you and have a nice day. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be, but let me ask you this, okay? Here we are in 2016. It's about to be May. It's the end of April, okay? Go back 4 years, okay, to this time in 2012, okay, before the Uber invasion happened, you know?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
How close are we to being back to that?
From being back to that, we're a ways away. I mean, the problem with this whole business now is the taxi commission, in its wisdom, turned it into a rent-a-car system. And really the only thing that matters to a lot of the fleet garages are drivers. That's it. I mean, are the cars getting out or are the cars not getting out? I mean, you go back years, the requirements for cab drivers and cars was so low and lackadaisical that you had junk running around the streets with drivers who were just horrible. Now, before Uber, they had brand-new cars. They had environmentally protected cars when Matthew Doss was running the show. Best chairperson we ever had at the TLC, by the way, in my opinion. He had some problems here and there.
Well, Matt, if you're listening, you were pretty damn good, despite the fact that I questioned a lot of the things you were doing. I was wrong. Okay. but listen, Mike, my question is the money coming in now? The last fare increase was in September of 2012, if I recall. Right? Okay.
Okay.
Is the money coming in now? After that fare increase, we lost virtually no business. Okay,
Right.
The public accepted the increase and kept riding, just like they always did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
How close are we to that with money coming in, with the number of taxis on the street? How close are we to that now?
I'd say we're still off. In fact, I got my readings from last year, which was a bloodbath. I was off by about 15 or 20% last year, and I think everything right down the line in this business was whacked at least 20%, which was horrible. But this year, the last few months, now, I'll tell you when the bell went off when we started making money again. It was when the, and I'm sorry to say this, when the Uber driver went nuts in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and killed six people while on duty. Since that day, the yellow cab business has been booming because people don't want to be riding around with nuts. And these Uber drivers aren't even really checked out that much. So people started looking into who's driving a yellow cab and who's driving an Uber car, and they're scared. They don't want to get in these Uber cars. And forget about that story for a second. These people from their own experience aren't too thrilled with having their girlfriends and their wives being in Uber cars because, speaking frankly, there's a lot of assaults and attacks and stuff like that going on with Uber cars, which are not going on in the yellow cab. So I think the last few months, I'll say back to maybe February, right around that time when that guy went nuts, it's been very good. And I think they talk about drivers for yellow cabs. If they would give another fare increase to the yellow cab to get drivers back, that would be great. Because just because we got a fare increase 4 years ago doesn't mean that brought us to a level of income where we should be. I mean, this is what people don't understand. Cabbies still don't make a lot of money.
Let me jump in here. First of all, I want to say the Kalamazoo guy, news story today, he's been found fit for trial. Okay?
What a waste. Blob of flesh.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, now, so what you're saying is, from last year's figures, you know, up until January 1st or December 31st, right, we're off 15% for the yellows.
I'd say probably closer to 20%.
Okay, let's highball it and say 20%. Okay,
last year.
Yeah. Okay. So that means it would be understandable that if everybody's all of the retired cab drivers, as you call them, lease payments were down by 20%. Right.
Exactly. Okay. Give or take. Right.
Okay. Not 33 1/3% like. Yours truly is experiencing.
Well, hey, you know, it is what it is.
Okay, but I won't question
that. It's not proportional.
I won't question that because the broker that I use is probably one of the most honorable and respected brokers in the business. So, you know, without mentioning his name, I'll just say, if you're listening, I'm not holding you to what Mike is saying.
Yes.
Okay?
You don't want to get in trouble by calling him the most honorable and respected broker.
Yeah, but in fact, he is. He is, okay? And I wouldn't trust my thing to anybody but him, okay?
Good. All right? Does that mean you're getting more money in your next check?
Well, only he knows that. I'll say hi to him. I'll say hi to him. You know, he may listen to the show or not. I don't know. Okay.
Who knows?
All right.
Yeah.
All right. But since January 1st, since the Kalamazoozation of the Uberization.
Right.
Did you get that?
The
Kalamazoozation of the Uberization.
The Kalamazoozation
of the Uberization. Right.
Right.
You're saying that that things have come up. And where it was, if it was down 20%, maybe now it's only down 15 or 12%.
Yeah, it has improved, but it's still a little bit of a pinch. But it's not the disaster like it was last year.
Yeah,
and there are a couple of things they're doing down the track. Like I said, it's ironic because now that more drivers are coming back to the yellow cab. Business is booming. Now, like you've been in the game. I touched on this, I think, the last show. But it's interesting. Now that we're able to cover the work with more drivers, we're getting more business. Does that make sense?
Sure. Because that means less drivers are driving for the TNCs, as we could call them. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, they had enough
SOBs.
They had enough of the BS, and they're coming back to the yellows.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not a matter, Mike, it's not a matter of how many drivers are on the yellows. It's a matter of where the drivers are putting. There's only so many drivers out there. So, you know, people don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, there's a new service called Uber. I think I'll quit my job at the bank and go work for Uber. I think I'll quit my job as a grocery store clerk and go work for Uber. It doesn't happen like that. Right. What happens is a cab driver says, I think the grass is greener on the other side, so I'll go work for Uber. Or I think the grass is greener on the yellow side, so I'll go work for the yellow. Okay, that's what it is. It's the drivers going with one, shifting back and forth. Okay.
Right. Well, the other thing you have to realize is the yellow cab historically has been what's known as a recession-based industry. By that I mean it's like last chance saloon if there's no work. But now the economy is very good. And I think a lot of guys who used to drive yellow and black cars and not own them but drive them, they went into and just got regular jobs. So we have to be competitive with getting drivers to stay in the business versus leaving for other things to do, like driving a truck or working in a restaurant or working as a doorman. I've seen a lot of cabbies working in hotels in Long Island City. I mean, I went off the other day. I just jumped into a hotel. I think I was dropping off some newspapers or something for Dave. And I saw like about two guys who I said, oh, what are we doing for? He goes, oh, you should drive a taxi. He's working behind the counter at a hotel. So you got guys who leave the business during a hot economy, and they come back when the business is, the economy goes down the drain. And I've seen that many times. But the thing, it jumps back to the taxi commission. You got to keep these cars on the road. You have to pay the drivers. You have to reward them to stay here. And there are also other ways to do it, like with group riding and surcharge pricing. And we have to start looking in those terms. I mean, people, one thing about Uber, excuse me for rambling on, but it's the last piece of this rant, is what Uber has proven that in New York City, people will pay two times, three times, four times the fare. They don't care. And all these little piss ants who got up in front of TLC and wearing $400 sneakers complaining about 25 cents on a cab ride were proven to be a bunch of BS artists because Uber is charging quadruple, and those people are happy to pay. And those people used to be our customers. Go ahead.
Okay, enough of this Uber thing. You wanted to make a comment about the TLC meeting this week and how the commission is flip-flopped on the sexual thing.
Well, this is a good flip-flop, in my opinion.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I agree.
Everything you took.
I agree with that. It was a good flip-flop. Yes, it was. It was a wise flip-flop. Okay. But to me, it demonstrated a definite point that we have been making for the longest time. Okay, and that is that they don't have anybody from the industry on their panel, and without that, they're really working in the dark, okay?
Because this is what was scary with that.
Yeah, let me just say, because when they finally came out with what was going on, there was our industry right there representing themselves in excellent fashion, explaining to them why this was an idiotic thing to do, and because of their inexperience with the industry, they agreed instantly and said, you're right. Okay? Something that past commissioners wouldn't have done. Could you imagine Diane Keckney? Was that her name, Keckney, right?
Diane McGrath McKenzie.
Diane McGrath. Could you imagine her flip-flopping on a rule she was about to pass?
Never.
If you recall, 13,000 taxis didn't work for a day because they didn't want any of our rules. And she said, too bad. Her and Giuliani just said, you're getting it whether you like it or not. Okay?
And she's not even in New York anymore. This is another thing with these people. It's like they just make these crazy rules, they whine and complain, then they're out of the city. They're not even in the city.
Well, with all respect, I would like to tell this current taxi commission that I watch all of your all of the videos of all the meetings, and you seem like very smart, intelligent people, and I think that you should all understand that before you make up these rules, a word to the wise, don't make up rules without talking to the industry to understand what you are doing, okay? Because you've never driven a cab. Okay, you've never been in the taxi business. okay? And you got to understand, you know, especially the driving part, the things that we encounter on a day-to-day basis, you cannot imagine, okay, without having done that. Okay, I'm done, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay, well, you're on the right track. Well, let's bring our steady fans and cabbies know what we're talking about. But the rule was this draconian rule. I call it the no sex rule. Like, they even went so far in the TLC to propose that, this is their words, were in the rule, that passengers are not allowed to ejaculate on cab drivers, and cab drivers are not allowed to ejaculate on passengers, which is a police matter. And it's insane that they would even use that language in a taxi commission rule. I mean, that's just, like, bizarre.
It is.
It's like, if you got someone who's breaking the law by ejaculating you, that doesn't mean you're subject to a $2,000 fine. That means you'd be thrown in jail for 5 years. You know, I mean, that's police matter.
Well, Mike, let me just say this. The rule that they were trying to pass, which I would certainly agree to, is that a driver should never put his hands on a passenger. Okay?
Right.
A driver should never put his hands on a passenger except in self-defense.
Well, this is the other thing where it's a gray area. Like, if you're assisting someone in the cab, or if you're telling someone they have a nice dress, or I like your hair, you're blah, blah, blah. I mean, basic social grace stuff, that could be, it's not written like that. The social grace compliment was avoided. I mean, it was a direct destruction of the First Amendment right. In the other part of the rule, where they said, as far there shall be no contact regarding any person, or it was just, if you go to our website, the rule is there, but they basically wanted to eliminate the First Amendment for cab drivers.
Right.
Let's put it this way, it goes both ways. You and I have both met girls in the cab that we go out with and hang out with when we're finished work, because there's a chemistry there. I mean, it's like,
well, it's happened. It happens, you know. I mean, you know,
it just happens,
yeah. You know, and you can't stop people from being human. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, cab drivers.
You know?
Cab drivers have met girlfriends and wives in their cabs consensually.
I wish some of them would come forward. Okay.
Right.
Okay, so
right.
People that have actually gotten married that have met in a taxi cab. I met a woman a number of years ago, and we got into this very deep discussion about life, I should say, okay, or about relationships, all right?
Right.
And you know, and I won't mention anybody's name. She knows who she is, okay? She was a cartoonist, this woman, and she actually made a cartoon book for me. That's how much she appreciated the conversation we had. I have the book, okay, and
yeah.
You know, I'd like to send it. A section of it I did send into Taxi Dave at the time, and he did publish it in his Taxi Insider newspaper. Okay, but that would have never happened had we not gotten into a conversation about relationships. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and it was friendly, it was intelligent. Okay, nobody was trying to hit on anybody. Okay, you know, we just got into an adult conversation. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. what is it that these people are afraid of, that they should even dream to make a rule that we can't talk about adult matters? Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, when I saw this rule, I was like, how many times? I would never, ever initiate a conversation with a sexual connotation in it. But passengers ask me. Say, what's the craziest thing that ever happened in your cab? I said, well, the craziest thing that ever happened in the cab to me has happened about 20 times. I said, like, what? I said, well, you know, like, and then they want me to tell them the story. They want me to tell them that story.
Yeah.
Of, like, back in the days when things used to get freaky deaky a lot more. They like it. They get a kick out of it. They like to hear stories from cab drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think the problem is, Abe, you know, I'll tell you what this is exposing. The taxi commission started pumping out too many Uber drivers, too many inexperienced drivers, and now they get guys who aren't used to New York civilization,
mm-hmm.
With girls with their, you know, boobs bouncing around and skirts up to their butt, who can't handle it. And, like, I've lived in New York, I've seen everything, so I'm able to keep it in check. But some guy comes from a country where it's extremely repressive, and then all of a sudden he's got one of these club chicks, you know, three sheets to the wind with half naked, and then all of a sudden he's a monster if something happens. But, I mean, look, the TLC is not vetting their drivers like they used to. I mean, and you have to start reining in the drivers. You just keep putting drivers in cabs with strange women, because apparently I had a lady in my cab. She said, and she was with one of the city services department, like a social service woman's thing. I don't know, but it was like one of the higher-ups. She said the complaints, overwhelming majority, are coming in about Uber cars and car services versus yellow cabs. She goes, the yellow cabs are pretty good. That's why I take them. That's what she said. Mm. So this is something that the TLC has to look into, what they are doing wrong, not what we are doing wrong, what the taxi is doing wrong in regard to issuing licenses to anybody who walks across.
Right. Who polices the commission?
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Well, where's
right.
the where is their drug?
Right. Right. And this could all be solved very easily by having one or two experienced taxi drivers or taxi owners or both on the commission. Yeah. Or if you don't want them directly on the commission, you should have a panel of these drivers and owners to advise you on rules that you're about to make. Okay?
Yeah.
They used to have that
once a month.
Used to have that, but the Giuliani did away with that. That's what
that's
what the late great Alan Decker told me. Okay, that they used
did
to be
with.
That there used to be a committee that would meet every so often, and it had people from the industry on it along with the commissioners,
right.
and they would discuss things and have input from all different segments. Okay,
right.
But Giuliani, when Giuliani took over, he did away with that, and it became a one-sided organization or committee commission, whatever you want to call it. Okay, and it hasn't changed.
It hasn't
changed since then. Bloomberg kept it like that. Okay.
Mm.
All right. You know, look. You know, even when we tried to tell them, you know, don't mess with success, they did. Okay, and I won't.
They did.
Now look, the green cabs. You know, and I'm referring to the green cabs when they first came out with the idea for the green cabs. Okay, we were very skeptical about it. Okay, and we certainly didn't like the idea that they were giving away things that we paid a lot of money for. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And in hindsight, I'll say this: it wasn't the worst idea in the world, and you know they haven't lived up to the commitment to these green cab people. Okay.
Yeah, they got whacked worse than we did.
Yeah, but you know we may have been able to advise them. Okay, you should do this, but you know if you're going to have enforcement, we know that they need enforcement in the central business district, okay? But the bulk of the enforcement is really needed in the boroughs, okay?
Right.
Because that's where all of the violations are taking place. That's what they were supposed to solve with these green taxis, okay? And out of 18,000 green taxis in the boroughs, wouldn't be such a bad idea if they could get away, if they could do away with all of the illegal pickups from the FHVs and whoever that are going on in the boroughs, okay?
Oh, you know, you touched on a good point. Let me tell you what I've seen, and I thought I was seeing things, but no. You have private cars who are SUVs coming in from New Jersey, from Pennsylvania, from New York, because I see, like, black-tinted window cars crawling around, which is what they do. They're so unbelievably annoying. They go 5 miles an hour looking at their phone because they think they're trying to stay like in a zone or something for bidding on their call or what have you. But they're not taxi commission vehicles. They're people coming in from New Jersey, from Pennsylvania with Pennsylvania plates, from out of the city, private cars, and they're working the Uber phone. Now, I don't know how they managed to do that. Maybe they just borrow their friend's phone. Maybe they lie with another guy. I feel sorry for the people because a lot of people, the only identifying mark on these Uber cars is a license plate. I mean, they have no exterior number, which is another crazy thing. We have numbers all over the place, on the yellow cabs, but these people get into these private cars who aren't insured for doing this work, and the driver isn't really a real driver,
Mike.
And they're getting in these cars.
Mike,
they don't know what's going on.
Let me tell you how they could solve this problem easily. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Every time you pick up a fare in your yellow medallion taxi, every time you pick up a fare, you hit that meter, and that meter sends a signal, and they know you picked up that fare.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where is the signal for the FHVs? Okay?
Doesn't exist.
It should. Okay?
Like
it should.
When the doctor was running around with the Ebola virus, what was it, last year?
Yeah.
Nobody could find them because he was taking Uber cars all over the city.
Oh. Well, the point I'm trying to make is you don't have, you know, the FHVs don't have to disclose exactly how much money everybody's being charged. We all know that they're ripping everybody off with the surge pricing. Okay, but that's besides the point. Okay? But at least there should be some signal to the taxi commission that a fare has been picked up. Okay?
Yeah.
And a legal receipt that gives the TLC 311 number should have to be issued. Okay, just like in the yellows, okay? You know, the TLC wants to know what fares are being picked up, who's picking up fares, okay? And the customers should know that even if they get into an FHV, they're going to be covered that way, that the pickup and drop-off points are going to be recorded, okay, in real time, just like in the yellows. Okay, there is no reason why it should happen in the yellows and it shouldn't happen in the FHVs. Okay, and I think our friend Todd Higgins is making that point, that what's good for one is good for the other. Okay,
right,
in his equal, constitutional thing that's still in progress. You know, who knows how long it's going to take? These courts, they crawl like snails. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how long does it take to make your argument? Do they have to? I can never figure out why these court things take so long. Okay.
Yeah. No. It's like the wheels of justice turn slowly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But the other thing you sent me a story. And it's very disturbing to me. In fact, I almost smashed the computer to pieces when I read it. Is that you say now Uber is drooling over the fact that we have our fund for the yellow cabs,
right,
for wheelchair accessible vehicles, and now Uber wants to find a way to get their hooks into our money.
Well, they want to make their own fund. They say, okay, and as one of my our followers. Carolyn, I'll mention Carolyn's name, you know, we all know Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what she says. What the reporter forgot is $500 million that New York State has allocated for a Cessna ride.
Right.
And she's questioning, does Uber want that money? Well,
we
all want that money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But our fund is being paid for... Well, we don't know exactly how it's being paid for, but we do know that 30 cents a trip is being collected, you know, to help pay for the fund. Okay.
Right.
And she brings up a good point. Maybe some of that money is coming from this $500 million that New York State has allocated. And I'd like to know if anybody knows the answer to that. You know, you can send us an email at nyctaxinews@aol.com. Okay. Why don't you bring that up on Taxi Dave tonight?
I will. You mean like with the wheelchair accessible funds?
Yeah. Ask him if the $500 million, you know, Dave seems to have his fingers on everything, okay, about knowing about this kind of stuff. Ask him about the $500 million New York State fund, okay, and if some of that money is being used as part of the money that's being given to the yellow drivers for driving the wheelchair cabs. Okay.
Now, wait a second. This $500 million New York State fund, is that in addition to the 30 cents per trip, or is that what the 30 cents per trip means?
Well, I think what Carolyn is implying is it's an addition.
In addition? Oh, my
God. Okay. And I don't know if this is true or false. Or if she's correct or wrong, because I haven't heard anything about this fund. Okay.
But, well, you know, the other thing is, I don't see a lot of people. They have motorized wheelchairs all over the place. I see a few accessoride calls. I see some people on the street. At what point do we say, listen, how many people actually need this? I think that might be a scam within the scam.
Well,
because you got everybody jumping through hoops.
They always argued people that needed the accessible taxis. They've always argued that if you build it, we'll come. You know, the kind of thing. Yeah. Like you don't see us now because you can't accommodate us. But if you can accommodate us, we'll show up.
Right. Well, the one thing I think they should look into is, like me, I was playing basketball and I wrenched my ankle. I was basically limping around for 6 weeks. They should expand the accessoride program to people who just, you know, they're not in a wheelchair, but maybe they have like a broken leg or something. And, you know, I mean, stuff like that. So they could do that. But the fact that Uber is coming in that says they're going to give up, they're going to make a plan and submit it to the TLC and say, listen, we need TLC to do their own plans. We don't need Uber to come in with a plan. First, because Uber's plan all along has been to do nothing and evade picking up the handicap. So they're the last ones who should be developing anything. They shouldn't even be here, in my opinion. They should have been thrown out 3 years ago.
Okay. Well, their plan is to come up with a plan and shove it down the TLC's throat, where in the past the TLC would come up with a plan and shove it down our throat. Okay?
Right. Right.
It's the who could shove harder game. All right?
Yeah. You know. And I was talking to one TLC person. They said Uber is always scheduling meetings at the TLC. Meetings. And I tell the guy, I say, listen, that's part of their plan. It's to use what they call all the oxygen in the room and just keep meetings and keep them so occupied with Uber stuff that they totally blow off the needs of the rest of the industry. So any TLC people listening to this program, when Uber calls a meeting, start being a little more wary of the fact that it's a con.
Well,
and it probably has very little to do with anything.
Well, if I was in charge, I'd go, again?
Right.
Another meeting, one of their trying to sell us on this idea and that idea. And, you know, how about the TLC comes up with good ideas for everyone else? OK, which I think they're trying to do through all of this, through all of the smog in front of them. OK.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. So what else, Mike? What else we got to talk about? OK,
I think that's it for now. We got a pretty good show.
But, yeah.
If we could sign off for next week, we've got a lot of material, and I'm glad to see the taxi commission did in fact get rid of that dopey rule about the dopey sex rules they were going to try and pass.
Well,
which basically made it illegal to tell somebody they look very lovely today.
Well,
I think
that it's not totally out of here. I think that they're going to try to rewrite it in a sensible way where they express what is real and not outrageous, okay?
Right, and I think what the taxi commission should do is put the number for the New York State Bar Association, so we can start disbarring some of these lawyers who haven't read the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah,
because they shouldn't be in the legal field.
Right,
they shouldn't be in the legal field. They shouldn't be making rules for cabbies that violate the Constitution, where you can't even speak to a woman to say hi. So
okay.
I think we have to start looking at who these invisible people are. There's a lot of invisible people who nest at the TLC and make aggravation for everybody and do everything wrong. They have to start getting fired. To get rid of bad cabbies, we got to get rid of bad TLC personnel, including lawyers who shouldn't only be fired, but should be disbarred.
Okay. Mike, change subject. Question. Were you in Manhattan on Friday?
On Friday, yes.
That was the car-free day. How many cars were there?
Oh. They did have a lot less cars. Actually, it was pretty good. They did have a lot less cars in the city. But coming in from Kennedy was a parking lot. The UN, they had police all over the place. The traffic was horrible. And I'll tell you one thing. You know, probably the worst thing for the environment is for the taxi commission to put 30,000 Uber cars on the road in 2 years. I don't know if they talked about that at the UN, the glut of Uber cars in Manhattan, but they're going to have these mockety-mocks doing speeches about saving the planet in New York City. The first place they should start is say we're going to get rid of the 30,000 Uber cars and cap the number of Uber cars because we can't breathe.
Okay, so it was a little bit successful in that people did listen and keep their cars out. Is that
right?
Is that what you're saying?
Some did because I think they just took the day off. It was Passover, so it's like,
well, Passover. Yeah, Passover didn't start until after sundown. Okay.
Well, a lot of people, you know, especially like the non-Jews took the day off. Also, I think more non-Jews took the day off. Any holiday is a good holiday. Yeah. I'm an Irishman. I can speak for that.
Okay.
So it's a false narrative if they say.
Okay.
A lot of
so nothing was
take their car in for Earth Day.
In your opinion, nothing was proven one way or the other.
Nah, they picked a day when nobody's going to take their car in anyway. To say, look what we did, no cars. It's like, yeah, well, it's Passover and all the people took the day off, and you know, they bailed on a Friday. Big deal.
Okay. So where are you doing the Taxi Dave show tonight?
The Taxi Dave show is being done right. Their studio is, I think, it's on Canal and Sixth Avenue, right by the Holland Tunnel. So I jump in there at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. The Taxi Dave show. He's been pretty good, with giving us some shout outs with the website, with our little website that's here now. So quid pro quo. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'll try not to say anything stupid.
Okay.
And it won't be easy.
Okay. Don't forget to ask him about the $500 million. In fact, I'm going to send him an email if I don't hear it. If I don't hear you talking about it, okay.
Send the email anyway, because only I could forget to ask about $500 million.
I know you could. You could put the money in your back pocket and forget that you have it.
Yeah.
You know, right?
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll give all the wheelchair people $1,000 apiece. Like, listen, here's $1,000. Don't call.
Okay. So that's the Mike and Abe show for today. Okay.
Right.
And we were hoping to do another show a week from today. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We always keep a secret what day it is. We don't know what day it is.
Right.
Okay. But we'll.
Don't know what day it is.
Yeah. But we all know when the Taxi Dave show is. So that's a little bit of a hint of what.
It's on WOR tonight. Is it WOR on Sunday nights? On 8 p.m.
7:10.
Except that there's a Met game, then the
7:10. 7:10. And if you should miss it, there will be a podcast of the show on NYC Taxi News. In fact, there are podcasts of the Taxi Dave show and the Mike and Abe shows going back. We've passed our anniversary, Mike. By the way, we're over a year on our show. Okay.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was this month. It was a year ago this month. Okay, that we did our first show, okay? And the Taxi Dave shows go back to November when the website started, November 2014. So there's also a radio guide that I make up to you, so you can see which show had which guests on Taxi Dave and which show Mike and Abe, what we talked about, you know, a couple of things offhand, okay? And you could listen to any one of our shows. And there are over 100 shows now between Taxi Dave and us and the Mike and Abe show. Okay?
Wow. So we're doing a very good job.
Yeah.
Dollar for dollar to try and keep everybody informed from a taxi driver standpoint, from a taxi owner standpoint, and just from an industry standpoint. Because, again, like you said, the Taxi Commission, I think one of the qualifications you need to work for the Taxi Commission is to have never driven a cab. Which is ridiculous.
Well, that's a disqualification in my eyes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mean, I don't know why they do that. They should get some former cab drivers up there.
Okay. All right. So, Mike, what else can we say? Anything else?
Let's say goodbye because I got to do stuff.
Mike wants to say goodbye, so we'll see you guys next week. Okay.
And Abe wants to go play pool. So those are the pressing issues.
No, I'm not shooting pool today, but. But I will be shooting pool soon. Okay?
Okay, very good. Well,
nine ball, eight ball. Any straight pool players out there?
Shout out to Prince.
You know, it's very unfortunate that we should lose such a great talent as Prince.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
That's all
I got to say about that. All right?
You were a Prince fan? Do you like Prince?
Well, you know, I like him more now than I did back then because I hadn't given him a lot of thought in the last 5 or 10 years. Okay,
Right.
But when the news came out that he passed away, suddenly I realized, hey, this guy was really good when the music wasn't all that good. You know, generally speaking, this guy was a shining star, you know, that came through that. Okay?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the other thing is you listen to the crap that we're subjected to today music-wise. It's just, it's such a huge glaring difference between the music he made and the horrible shit that's on the radio today, pardon
yeah.
the French.
Well, okay. Well, I don't listen to commercial radio for music. Okay.
It's disgusting. It's a disaster.
No.
It's a disaster.
No. Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. Great.
Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you again next week.
Okay, buddy. Catch you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye.